Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to 1080 AM. 95.1 The One, streaming live on kymnradio.net. We appreciate you joining us here this morning. And if you're happening to be listening to this in the afternoon or evening, that means you probably found us online. We appreciate that as well, either through the KYMN website, through our website, ontapnorthfield.com, or podcastable through iTunes, Google Play, and a number of other podcast platforms. You're listening to On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And we appreciate you joining us. We've got a big show, as they always are big shows. We just came out for 1 year anniversary, but today we've got Tilling Brewing Company coming up, a brewery that's not yet open. They'll be here open in about 1 week, and then in their big grand opening here in 2 weeks, St. Patrick's Day. So it was a fun conversation with Scott. That's two Scotts, not first name, last name, Scott, but two Scotts, a Chris and a Ryan. So a whole quartet of guys coming in and chatting with us about their dreams and ambitions and what they're doing in Cannon Falls. So I know we're excited. We've been tracking their progress here for, seems like a year and a half, 2 years since they've been publicizing the brewery opening. So it's nice to have them finally see all that work come to fruition of opening.
Yeah, it was really fun to find out what's going on. I think it's a great location where they're going to be over there. It was also kind of fun the fact that we were having a couple of the growlers fresh off their system that even a couple of the guys there hadn't even tried yet. So, getting to try their beer, very first thing, that was really pretty cool. And again, having a great conversation about what they're trying to do over there. Looking forward to them being open.
Yeah, that's the class definition of privilege right there. It's our one and only benefit of doing the show. Sometimes we get access to things others don't. And, it's their first run on brews. And as we'll talk about in the show, we're pretty impressed with what they're doing right out of the box. And as I've said time and time again on the show, and you've agreed that, I look at beer openings, brewery openings as a spectrum, and some start off pretty good. Some start off pretty awful, to be frank. But the hope is they always improve. And if you assume they all improve, they'll all end up at least good to great. And I think those guys are on the right track.
Yeah, and it also adds to just another great Southern scene in the sense of it's not really that big of a drive out of the city. So you can head down there and, make a stop there as well as hit several other breweries in the area and really kind of enjoy what Southern Minnesota has to offer. So I think it's a great addition not only to the area but for getting people to maybe get out of the 494 loop and explore a few more breweries.
And for people listening to the first time to this show, that's obviously our main segment, but we've got a couple other things going on. What else do we have for today's show, Ira?
Well, Andrew is still stuck on some British beer, so we got another British style of beer coming up. I'll let him tell us about that one. And, of course, we got a couple of fun beers sent to us today from Firehouse Liquor, so I'm looking forward to sampling those two.
Folks, if you want to find out what we're sharing, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook and Twitter, search for On Tap Northfield. Instagram, search for On Tap with Corey and Ira. We're always posting pictures of stuff that's sent to us, pictures of places we're visiting, and we're posting upcoming guests, things like that. If you want to find old shows of ours, old as in they've already been recorded and sent out to the world, you can find that on our website, ontapnorthfield.com. You can also find it on the KYMN website. You can find it on multiple podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn app, and on and on and on. We are out in the world. And whatever your choice for podcast platform is, please leave us a review. That way people can find us. Whether they're in Minnesota or not, people need to know about the Southern Minnesota brewing scene. And we're happy to shine a light on anywhere in Minnesota, but clearly our focus for interviews is Southern Minnesota. And speaking of that, we got one coming up here shortly from Cannon Falls. Stick around.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering today is Stone Brewing Company's Tangerine Express IPA. And as you can probably guess by the name, it's got a little bit of tangerine in there. So it's mixed up with some whole tangerine and pineapple and comes in really quite citrusy on this India Pale Ale. Coming in a nice little 6.7%. It's definitely a tasty, juicy IPA. Almost, even though it's coming out of California, it is kind of got a lot of that flavor that you might expect out of a Northeast IPA. So really a fun, full-flavored beer here.
Yeah, fruit IPAs have been around for a while. Northeast IPAs kind of taken it over with the idea of the haziness, but also kind of the juiciness of it as well. You mentioned the tangerine. It's splashed across the can. This is using a puree, tangerine puree, so it's got the whole fruit in there, not just the juice, which adds a nice depth to it. As you alluded to, there's pineapple in here, and even the can says. You probably wouldn't pick that up unless they pointed that out. Even someone like me with such a developed palate for tropical fruits, I couldn't pull that out without being notified of that. It's a solid beer. It's a good IPA with a good fruit flavor to it. I wouldn't call it a fruit IPA. I'd call it an IPA with fruit, and I think people can draw a distinction between that. It's a solid offering, and like you said, 6.7% alcohol. You can have a couple of these and not get in too much trouble.
Yeah, and I'd say it's more, even not so much fruity, as just a good citrus flavor there. I know citrus and fruit are probably interchangeable, but if you're looking more for just that citrusy kind of bitterness to it, it definitely complements that IPA very well.
Well, I think that's a good point to bring up, is a lot of people do use them interchangeably. I'm sure people who are probably more beer snobbish than us would not. I mean, there's fruit beers that have almost no citrus attitude to it, like a nice Kolsch with a blueberry in it. You know, that's a fruit flavor, but it's not a citrus flavor. And on the other end, you can get citrus flavors directly from IPAs without having that fruit flavor coming heavily through. So there is a distinction there. I don't know if either of us can break it down beyond what I just said, but someone smarter than us maybe can come on the show and tell people about that. I alluded to the 6.7% ABV on the last beer. Well, we've got a pair for that one right here with the Goose Island Rambler Red IPA. I would call this a pretty standard red IPA from the ones I've had. You know, you can get a little bit of that pine coming through, a little bit of the woody hop aromas. I think it's a solid offering. I really don't have much more to say than that. I can't really break this one down beyond, yeah, it's a good red IPA, and I'd probably have another one.
Yeah, I definitely like it. Like you said, there's a piney woodiness coming through on this. Really kind of a nice, smoother drinking, little, you know, it's got a little bite to that. One of the things I do like about it is the fact that they actually have the listing of the farm that the hops came from. That's a new one that I haven't seen yet. So Goose Island is using hops grown at the Elk Mountain Farm in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. So kind of an interesting little new taste of, like, here's where your hops are coming from. But no, it's a good, easy drinking red IPA here. You definitely sit down and have a couple of these and have a nice flavor and enjoyment to this one. If you want to try either of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they are conveniently found at Firehouse Liquor in Dundas, south on Highway 3.
Look for the fire truck. Okay, we're coming live now here in studio with Tillian Brewing Company, the long-awaited Tillian Brewing Company in Cannon Falls. We've got Chris, Scott, that's two of them, and Ryan in studio. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
Big collective hello. We only have two mics for four guys, so we'll see how this goes. Why don't we go around the corner here and have everyone introduce themselves and what you do with the brewery.
Chris Larson, co-founder and brewer.
Scott Larson, co-founder, customer service.
Ryan Seabright, co-founder, general manager.
And Scott Schlenk, assistant brewer.
So Scott Larson, when I call, you'll be the one answering the phones?
When you call, you'll get Chris.
Just me. Okay. Appreciate that. Well, as I said, people have been long awaiting the brewery opening. You guys have been in the works for a little bit over in Cannon Falls. Obviously, we've been paying attention because we're just on the road from you guys. And we're going to get into that, just the whole fun process of opening a brewery. But where in Cannon Falls can people find you? And it's going to be soon. We'll get to that, too. But you will be opening here in not too long. But where in Cannon Falls are you? And tell us about the building.
Sure. We're located at 432 Mill Street, literally right across from the Cannon River Winery. So if you're familiar with that well-established establishment, we are literally across the street.
Now, people know that you're right across Cannon River Winery, which I'm sure a lot of people know of. When are they going to be able to come try your beer?
So our big grand opening is St. Patrick's Day weekend. You know, what a better day to start opening a brewery than one of the biggest drinking days of the year.
So you're going to sounds like a bit of a nightmare to open on that day, you know, like asking for trouble.
But we like a good challenge.
I was going to say, you're going to limit people like one beer per person, just to
absolutely
make sure
not.
You don't run out?
No.
Now, I'd seen on Facebook that you might have a little test opening before then, or is that the day now?
No, we have a soft launch that happens before that. So you're welcome to come down on the 10th and check us out. There'll be a few more beers in rotation come the next weekend because we're brewing like crazy to get as much beer and as much variety as possible by St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yeah, I've been watching on Facebook. Looks like you guys have just been going crazy. Long days, obviously. It's been a big buildup, I'm sure, for you to come to this point where you can actually, you know, throw a couple ingredients in the kettle and let it brew for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. We did four batches last weekend, two batches back-to-back, and it was a 51-hour weekend, but totally worth it. Funnest weekend of our life.
just the relief and the anticipation.
Well, we actually got to brew beer, so, I mean, Scott can probably attest. I don't think we really felt tired till about hour 14 or 15, but...
We were plenty sick of it by the end of the weekend, let's be honest, but it was a good 50 hours leading up to that.
So before we head into the beer, we're sipping on a nice Belgian right now, but how did this idea come together to open a brewery?
Well, it kind of started way back when my brother Scott was at Fleet Farm. He was cruising the aisle like he normally does, and he came across this Mr. Beer kit, this Mr. Beer in a box with the canned wort in it. And he's like, oh, hey, I got this beer. We're going to make beer. It's going to be awesome. And
potentially.
Well, you know, you're excited.
Yeah.
And it came in the first clue should have been this clear, kind of clear yellow keg that the beer was in, you know, totally light struck. But
shaped like a barrel.
Yep. Had a little tap on it.
Oh, I've seen them.
Looked official. You know, we were ready to go.
Had a little texture.
Yep.
This stuff's legit.
Yeah. So we...
It's at Fleet Farm.
It's at Fleet Farm. What could go wrong?
Get some Southwest mix and your beer kit and get out the door.
I might show my age. It sounds like the old Bud Ball that you could get, the little mini keg
party
you
ball.
Could get.
Yeah.
Was it a Bud Ball? I can't
party
remember.
Ball.
Party Ball. Yeah, the party ball. Ball. Yes,
plastic ball.
So maybe I'll show my age. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the rest of us know.
I'm in the minority. That's okay.
Chris still has one.
I might, actually.
So you got the kit.
So we got the kit. Right, so Scott brews it up, and it looked like beer, smelled like beer, and we quickly poured it down the drain. It tasted
like soap.
Yeah, it tasted like soap.
Oh.
That could have been user error, we don't know. But anyway, long story short, the fascination started there, but we had always been craft beer drinkers. You know, we started with Anchor Steam kind of back in the early 90s and graduated to Summit. Of course, EPA was a go-to, being from Minnesota. So
love imports, I'm sure.
Loved imports too. You know, German, Belgians, anything we could get our hands on. But Scott decided to join the Army at the young age of 35. Mm-hmm. So
what was that, like 6 years from now? You look like a baby over there.
Nice crisis.
Goodness.
And this is, of course, is at the height of the Afghan war. So he immediately, once he signed up, got orders that he was going to ship out and serve overseas. So I had this crazy idea. I'm like, well, I'm going to get him a gift certificate to Northern Brewer, and let's actually brew some real beer. You know, we'll go and get a kit. We'll do some extract work. And we didn't really know at the time what soldiers go through when they deploy. You know, and he started getting his head in the game. He was focused on his mission. And we never actually brewed any beer before he left. But, you know, I said, hey, can I grab this off your refrigerator? I'll learn how to brew beer, and when you get back, there'll be beer. And he's like, sure, whatever, take it. You know? So I started homebrewing, almost, 10 years ago now?
Eight years ago?
The bug hit you like that. I think I actually did two extract kits in my entire life and quickly graduated to all grain. Thanks to John over at Angry Inch when he was working at Northern Brewer, got me hooked. So I lived in the neighborhood. And
just a few people have come through there.
Were you part of the group that went to his garage? That was
no.
He had a little discussion about everyone coming to his garage. So.
They would, but not me.
Okay.
No.
You weren't that close with him yet?
Not that close. Not at that point in time. I just got the fever. So as I'm brewing all this beer, I for my day job, I was consulting for the restaurant industry and working with Fortune 500, 100 companies, telling other restaurants how to make money, build an experience, so on and so forth. So I had this crazy idea, let's open a brewery. So what do? I start bugging my best friend, Ryan, pretty much every day. Hey, we should open a brewery. We should open a brewery. We should open a brewery. And he's like, no, stupid idea, crazy idea, don't want to do it.
No, I nodded my head, laughed, and said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Right.
And then went home and told my wife, he's crazy.
Yeah.
So sounds like a supportive best friend.
So I interpreted that as no.
So when was this, roughly?
Probably going back about 5 years now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
So just kind of on the cusp of everyone really rolling into
right.
it. So still on the forefront.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
seemed really crazy then.
Yeah. There's a bubble.
I just humored him and said yes and never thought it would actually happen.
So in all this pressure, we Ryan and I do this fishing trip every year in August, and I was like, well, how about we brew a batch together, we'll create our own recipe, we'll make fishing beer, and it'll be fun. So he said yes to that, and we're up on the lake, we're drinking beer, and he just looks over at me. It was early in the day, so I know it wasn't the drink. It was still early, and he goes, okay, let's do it. And I'm like, do what? Let's open a brewery. Okay.
It's that easy, right?
It was easy enough to say that, right?
And you just know? To confirm, it was on the first beer that I agreed to that.
The fishing was pretty poor then already.
Yeah, it was.
Got to change the topic. I've been there.
Typically.
Yeah. Nothing biting. Hey, you know what we should do?
let's open a brewery. So from that point on, we kind of hit the ground running with what do we do next? Build a business plan, pick out a name. You know, isn't that what you do first, is pick out a name? So. But we did exactly that.
Get the important things out of the way.
We came up with a name, and we thought it was awesome. And what do two marketing guys do? Well, we had all the marketing figured out. How we
picked out all the beer names, right? Came up with some logos, some labels.
Then we found out
sketched
it was taken.
Sketched out on some fish skin or something, right?
No, it was beer coasters in the bar.
There you go.
But it was taken?
It was taken. Well, we couldn't find anything on Google, and we're like, there's just this one obscure thing for this home brewer in Colorado that had the name, and it was Snowbank Brewing Company. How cool is that for Minnesota?
That's a cool name.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Nice Boundary Waters Lake name.
Exactly. Yeah. And the problem was is that we went to go say, we're going to finally trademark this thing. We're going to call a lawyer and do this. And
hit like an LLC on it or something?
Well, I went to go check it, and it bounced me to a website, and it said coming soon in like April of 2014, Snowbank Brewing Company, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Like, well, I guess we're not taking that one. So that went out the window.
Did he ever open? I mean,
he did.
Do you keep tabs?
Yeah, we keep looking. We're not changing now until he's
right. You're committed now.
We're committed.
It's one of those things like when you want to buy a house, but someone outbids you.
Right.
You keep driving by the house because you bought the house two streets over.
Exactly. You're kind of hoping the deal falls through.
So at least good for him. He's following his dream too.
Exactly. Yeah. So and we wish him well, but we kind of moved on and we went.
You should send him a growler and say thanks a lot.
I think we might. We might just send him a package and just say, hey, thanks, you know.
So you end up with Tillion.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but now I'm curious on the name front.
The name front, Tillion.
Thanks to Tillion, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tillion kind of just fell in our lap. We, at that point, had probably been three or four names that didn't pan out for reasons our lawyers would say, just don't do that because we'll get sued.
Shells is taken.
Shells is taken, yeah. I think we had...
Titan Brewing Company,
and he said Great Divide will call us in a heartbeat. And sure. Said, no, it's okay. So.
No, we want to be Minnesota and try to go with Grey Duck. Of course, there was Grey Duck Chai Tea Company in Minneapolis that didn't want to share the name with us.
And respectfully, they're awesome. It was the nicest rejection letter we had gotten.
Sure.
And they actually thanked us for reaching out to them, because I just said, hey, do you guys mind if Grey Duck is such an iconic Minnesota thing? We really love your brand. We respect it. We don't want to encroach them on it. What do you think? And they're like, well, we brew craft beverage. You would brew craft beverage. Let's not do that.
Close enough for them.
And in hindsight, it made perfect sense, and we really respect their wishes. So
it's interesting as you see these other craft beverages, whether it be beer, liquor, wine, cider, coffee, kind of converge into the same scene. And you see these discrepancies. Like I know Urban Moose in Sauk Rapids had to change their name because there was, I can't remember if it was Moose Drool or someone else had basically all rights to the word moose as related to beer.
Yeah.
And Utapils and Bryn Mawr was going to be Bryn Mawr. But there was a winery in Oregon that they would never come across. But it's interesting to see how these trademarks come across.
Right. It's a tricky business, and it's only going to get harder.
It's interesting you bring up Grey Duck, though, because we haven't had it yet, but one of the beers we're going to be sampling for... that was sent to us this week was, Corey?
Grey Duck from Liftbridge. Collaboration with Goose Island Brewing Company. So it just came out. It's a Baltic pour they did. So maybe they'll get a letter. We'll see.
I wish them well.
Yep. Good luck to them.
So I think out. Goose Island might have just a little bit bigger of a legal
a little bit of
team
pull.
Or whatever. But it's also one specific name of a beer. But anyways, yes, we're going to be trying that. We're actually looking forward to it. It's sitting on my desk. I keep eyeing it up going... I have to wait for Corey. Corey doesn't wait for me on many beers, so...
It's a big bottle. I wait for the big bottles.
All right, we'll see.
When I get a pint can, it depends. But on that note, even like the specific beers, I mean, we saw with Modest with Dilly Dilly. I mean,
yeah.
Budweiser didn't waste any time on that one.
We've put a little thought into our new marketing slogan, Tilly Tilly.
There you go. I like it.
We're not sure if we're going to get that cease and desist letter how quickly.
Let's call Zach.
Now rhyming's not allowed. Can't do rhyming. So you guys are on the fishing trip.
Yep, we're on the fishing
trip. You guys maybe, before even having one beverage done, said, let's do this. You sketched some things. You considered some things. You came home from that trip. You still followed through.
Yeah. Well, we kind of hit the ground running. Like I said, we went through this whole marketing phase, and we learned a valuable lesson of, you know, we put a cart in front of a horse, and, you know, we needed to really pause and take a moment. From there, we completely shifted our mindset from the name doesn't have to come first. Let's sit down and talk about who are we? What are we going to be? What does the brand look like? What does our experience look like? How do we differentiate ourselves in the marketplace? Quality beer in the state is kind of a, that's the minimum standard, right? But how do you separate yourself from the herd of 150 breweries in the state now? How do you look different? So we really focus our attention on our business plan. And then how are we going to fund this whole thing? You know, that was the other big thing is how do you finance something?
And you guys kind of took a different route in the world of crowdfunding.
We did. Crowdfunding at the time didn't exist. Minvest hadn't quite hit the market yet, but...
But even like the Kickstarters and the
Kickstarters were there, but you know,
it was still in the early.
We
needed a bigger kick than what Kickstarter could provide.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Kickstarter, we didn't feel was really going to cover
either
it.
Bicycle kick, maybe something like that.
And really, at the core of who Tillian is we kind of take it's kind of the coffee shop of the new age. It's where the community comes to congregate. So in essence, it's kind of come full circle. If you go back to England or Germany, a lot of the central places where the community would come together to talk, to discuss, to debate, to laugh, to cry, was in the pubs. We sure. wanted that to be part of who we are. So we wanted the community to have as much investment in us as we did in the community. You know, it wasn't just for us to come and find a place to put up a building and brew some beer, but really to be part of the fabric of that community. And it was important that they had a vested interest in us being there. So,
yeah, how'd you guys narrow in on Cannon Falls? Were there other cities in the running, or was that going to be the place?
There were some other cities. We're all from Rochester. Well, the three of us are from Rochester. Scott's from Winona. Lewiston area?
Winona.
Scott 2.
Is that 2.0.
Is that appropriate? Yeah. 2.0, I like that.
So we're familiar with the area, but we all live up in the cities now. So we, of course, started in St. Paul, mm-hmm. But the market's a little crowded. Trying to find space in St. Paul is tricky, you know,
expensive.
For any business. It's expensive.
Yeah.
There's also just some challenges navigating government and those types of things. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because there's challenges navigating government everywhere. But the more we started talking about who we are, a smaller market felt like a more natural place for us to make a destination brewery that had a nice, great community that would kind of rally around who we are. And it just happened that the EDA, Economic Development Association in Cannon Falls, was looking for a brewery. Down to Cannon Falls we went. We were familiar with it because we went canoeing and we went biking and mm-hmm. we were at the winery. Kids go to scout camp at Billsby and...
Well, it was this beautiful
building.
So. Obviously, being on 52, you're well aware of the community and everything else.
Yep.
Yeah, Rochester guys in St. Paul, it's a nice little stopping point on the way.
Yeah, there's a lot of commuters between.
Much.
Yeah, commuters between Rochester and St. Paul, so it's got a nice flow.
So we jumped around a little bit. I don't think we ever got to the point of the Tillian name. I think we got into other names. Let's talk about the name and how you came to it and what it means.
Yeah, the Tillian name, like I said, really just kind of fell in our lap. My wife and I were going to Iceland. A friend of ours, Ryan, and myself, was also going to Iceland. Those aren't really related, but a third friend of ours was Googling things, like people normally do, and she was looking up different names or different sayings in Icelandic, because it's, I don't know, there's a lot of vowels in the sure. Icelandic language. And she just typed into craft, and it came back with Tillithin, which was the name to craft in Icelandic. And she says, what do you think about Tillithin? And we're like, wow, that's kind of cool. We kind of like it. We're not Icelandic, but we all are kind of Nordic. So
close enough. Yeah.
And we said, we just kind of thought a little bit about it. And we're like, well, no one's going to be able to pronounce a Thorsmark. so how do we get around that?
I still don't know what a Thorsmark is.
It's that little thing.
Sounds great.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds like Thor. But we decided to kind of Englishize it to Tillian, one L to get past, you know, get past the whole trademark thing.
Sure. No, I think it's a brilliant idea. The character of names obviously have a lot of value in them, but I know like Utapils is running an issue still now, even though there's education out there about how to say it.
Right.
I remember even before they opened, I was up in at Omni in Maple Grove, and I overheard people at the bar, and this is probably 6 months before they opened, people talk about, and it came up, and they're like, well, how does that even, how do you even say that? Is it Utapils? Is it Utapils? Pills? You know. So trying to ease the name into the market is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Make it approachable.
Exactly.
But you
so
done,
to craft.
You did a nice combination of a name that is going to be pretty hard to not pronounce correctly.
Annihilate.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably do it. I've done it, but that being,
back in 20 minutes.
There'll be a test.
But that being said, your logo, too, though, with the T and, you know, kind of a little extra stuff to it. I mean, you guys have definitely, hats off to marketing people, you know, created a brand name that really goes. I mean, we've
Thank you. You
know, we've watched the some places, or you hear some places talk about the fact that you shouldn't name it after a city because you limit yourself to where you're supposed to be. Everything else, it is interesting watching branding, because branding does make a big difference.
Right.
And do you somehow limit yourself to where you are, or can you grow from there?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the beer, what we're here to talk about, right? So people are going to show up here in a few weeks and get to try some of these tasty beers. We've had one so far. We got one more over there we want to tap into, but what are we sipping on right now?
What you're sipping on now is our Belgian single, otherwise known as a Patter's beer, and we call it T1. And
like it's Arnold Schwarzenegger,
like,
or?
Kind of. Well, more like Tillian One. Because it was.
Did I start something I shouldn't?
No, it's fine. You know, as long as you'll be back. I mean, it's a good.
Tillian first brew.
Yeah, it's Tillian's first brew.
Of course.
So we called it T1, and the beautiful thing about this is you can't hide behind it. If you make a mistake, you're going to taste it, because
the flaws will be there.
Yeah, the only thing that's holding this up is the yeast, and it's as simple as it gets. It's one grain, one hop, and one yeast, and that's it. Water, of course, but
it's pretty authentic.
Yeah, this is the stuff the monks would drink for themselves. It's just a easygoing kind of session type of Belgian. Comes in about 5.2-ish, 5.2. So you can have a few of these, but pretty flavorful. A little bit sweet, a little bit malty, a little bit spicy, and that's all the phenols from the yeast.
Sure. And what I was going to say is, you know, obviously this isn't your final full beer, but it did come in a little less sweet than I was expecting for a Belgian, because a lot of times Belgians come in with a lot of sweetness right up front.
Yeah.
It was almost a dry sweet. I don't know if that is the right classification for it. But no, I'm definitely
Cicerones.
Enjoying it. It's just, oh yeah, we're definitely not Cicerones by any means. But no, it was one of those things where I was expecting almost a more of a bigger sweetness at the front. I really enjoyed it, because it kind of comes in a little on the drier side for a Belgian. So yeah, very
crisp,
good.
Crisp and clean and...
Yeah,
you know, you can have a lot of these in the summertime.
The original recipe for this beer actually does finish a little sweeter, but the different water profile with the Cannon Falls water, this is the first brew with that. The beer did dry out a little bit more than what was expected, so we have to make some adjustments with that.
Okay.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about water profile here, and I don't think we need to delve into it too deeply, but that is a big part of brewing that people don't realize, that even from city to city, there could be pretty significant differences in the water and how you treat that, how you get to where you want, or some breweries, I'm sure, just say, well, let's roll with it and we'll adjust our recipes to it.
Do you do a lot of water treatment right now?
We don't. We're kind of a purist from that standpoint. We and there's no right way to do this, right? So we have a lot of guys that are using RO systems, reverse osmosis, to kind of come with a clean palate, and then they'll add their salts and chemicals back, or not chemicals, but minerals back in. But we're kind of curious. We're like, look, the water is our terroir, right? To make a wine equivalent, and that is, our water is our water. Let's work with it. We may have to make some mineral adjustments to kind of keep beers from drying out or coming in too sweet, but that's just adding in something here or there, as opposed to starting with a clean slate and building a water profile to fit it.
All right, we just poured the IPA. Let's walk through this. What are we drinking? What were we expecting? Obviously, you guys are just in the throes of throwing all your beer together. You've got opening up here in a week or two once this airs. It's tasty, but was it what you were going for?
It's in the ballpark, but is it exactly our two-day weekend? No. Two-day weekend is really it's a New England-style IPA, which would be a little bit more hazy. It's really kind of in the Vermont style, which isn't really as well-known, but the real difference between those two... My wife and I got married in Vermont, and we kind of fell in love with these smaller breweries out there. And they're really, it takes all the caramel malts out of the IPA and uses more of just a pale malt background with a little bit of Pilsner to back it up. So it's like an SRM2. It's a really light bodied beer. What that does is it lets the hops just stand right on top. You get these really big juice bombs, lots of grapefruit, lots of citrus kind of flavors coming through it. And you kind of get this hazy, beautiful beer underneath it. You can get those notes. You can get the flavors in here. The color profile is a little bit off, but that's okay. It still tastes good.
Which kind of hop are you trying to use right now?
This one is Chinook and Columbus.
Okay.
That's what's in this one. Two of our favorites. We love the four C's.
Two of the three C's, right?
Four C's. Yep.
Sorry. Depends who you're talking to.
Yeah. Our Psychology, which is our red IPA, which we'll have for St. Patrick's Day, we hope, if it finishes, has, you know, Chinook, Columbus, Cascade, and Citra in it. So it's got the beautiful four C's.
Well, it's what's interesting about the styles that we were talking before we went on air with Ryan about Fozzy Geezer. And I'm trying to remember because they had the three that came. Was Lazarite the Northeast IPA or was it Fozzy?
Foggy Geezer and Lazarite are both in that style.
And it was clear as day.
Yeah.
So without looking like flowers thrown in here, I mean, who knows, right? I think your average drinker, and I'm not saying like Cannes Falls, just in general, except for that like small percentage of people who chase the biggest, shiniest thing that just came out, will not know a difference in terms of visuals. And I say in the show a lot is, in the end, if it tastes good, who cares what you went for, what the outcome was, as long as it tastes, well, not what the outcome
was. We're also getting a chance to try a beer that isn't quite finished.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a couple weeks right from away from being finalized and everything else. But
right.
So I can tell you this. I can bring my wife over, and she'll be happy to have this.
Yeah,
perfect. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, and that's what's interesting about openings is you get a lot of different opinions about what opening day should be, right? Should it be perfection day one? Should it be, well, the beer is good, but it's not what we're going for, so why does that matter to the customer kind of thing? And then, of course, there's some places that have served flawed beer day one.
Yeah.
Based on these two, there's nothing wrong with them.
I don't find flaws. I like the fact that you're actually not happy with it in the sense of I still think it's good beer. I don't feel like I'm having some aftertaste that I'm going to feel like might actually give me a headache or something else tomorrow. Good flavors, everything else. I can see where you might, on your IPA, you might want to have a little more of a hoppiness to it or something, a little more finish to it. But at the same time, I still think this is a good beer, and you're going to be okay on day one. And you also have a couple more weeks to go on that. So
exactly, yeah.
And that's kind of the downside of the current culture is that everyone expects every beer to be a five-star beer day one without ever having testing around that. Recipes develop, they evolve.
Yeah.
So the beer you serve week one might be a good beer, might be a great beer, but your second batch, you might tweak the profile of the hops a little bit. You might change the malt profile. And I know locally here in Northfield, that's happening definitely. It happens everywhere.
Yeah. And I think as like homebrewers too, we often forget, I know like Scott and I have had conversations about this, and that is we often forget when we're out drinking, like these guys who just opened just went through a major shift in equipment, and learning your equipment changes. Even at home, if you went with a 5 gallon batch to a 10, that's a huge shift in your profile. Sure. And
it's not just doubling.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's like baking cookies. You don't just double up your, you know, your butter, you know, you end up with a mess. Can't double up hops either. It doesn't work out that way. And it's a big equipment change. So if you're expecting perfection on day one, there's a lot of guys that can do it. I mean,
but they didn't start though. There. I mean, it's all subjective, right?
It is.
These are good beers, and this might be a perfect beer to one person. One other person might be something to be desired here because it's not the biggest dry hop bomb they've ever had.
Right.
So, well, as long as it's not flawed.
For me, the biggest step from going home brewing to brewing on a professional system on a large scale is the fact that when you're a home brewer, you get to choose who judges your beer. You get to pick that person.
Free beer is the best beer, right?
You kind of know what they're looking for. You give that beer to them.
You're also penalized by that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You make a lot of new friends when you're a home brewer. You know, like they all want to come over and try your new best thing. But when you're brewing on a large scale, and everybody's walking in that door, the first thing they're judging you on, and the only thing they're judging you on when they walk in that door, is how your beer tastes.
Sure.
And you might not have that beer that fits their particular taste, but it fits everybody else's. But that person's going to judge you more harshly than the other person.
And that's what I think is the wonderful thing about brewing, is that there's a lot for everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the booziest imperial stout or the biggest hopped beer. And I really think we're coming back down to earth where people are going to be chasing lagers and Kolsches and more simple beers. And you've got the single hop, single malt here with the Belgian, right?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
The simplicity and just having a quality product. So there's plenty of room for everybody. Yeah. It's just you got to find what you like.
Did you have the luxury of knowing somebody else locally that was brewing on the same system that you could go visit or see how they're brewing? Because I know some other brewers have had the chance to say, hey, we have this system, so-and-so, somebody, so we can go brew with them and actually watch how they're using the system, learn some of the things they've already learned from it or anything else, or was this kind of a new system to this area?
Well, it's definitely not a new system. There's other breweries that use our system. We have the same kind of setup that East Lake does. We have the same setup that Portage does as far as a stout tank, seven-barrel system. So we did talk with like Portage, for example, when we were up there this summer and just kind of got the lay of the land in terms of how they set up their system, where did they put things, what did they run into, any issues, you know, that would help give us some insight. But really, we have quite a few friends, in the industry, guys who are Eminent, of course, East Lake, or Lakeville Brewing, and Angry Inch. So, you know, talking about how they use their systems, even though it might not be our system, really helped us through. And that's kind of the cool thing about being in this industry is there's kind of this rising
tide floats all boats. That's part of the amazement about the system.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of people that reference everyone with not just somebody like, I went to somebody 200 miles away because I can talk to them. But I literally went down to my neighbor and said, hey, how are you doing that? Can I help you? And yeah, I'll help you. And you're like everyone else. And it is a pretty amazing thing about the brewing industry compared to almost any other industry out there, that everyone is willing to support each other. And I really do enjoy it. That's why I think why I love it, because of the fact that I know that Randy over there is helping you guys. So, and then maybe later on you'll help him. And overall, I'm going to have better beer.
Yeah, I mean, we hope we can pay it back. I know that there's a couple breweries that are in startup right now. We won't name who they are, but you know, we're like, hey, can we ask you a question? I'm like, absolutely. Let me help out. Let me pay it forward, because we had so many great people.
It might be an opening question. It might be a beer question.
Exactly. A lot of it's just navigating, you know, who do I talk with to get my taproom plan approved, and what government agency do I need to talk to first? And it's like, well, we just did it. So, you know, go this way.
So yeah. I'm going to ask you a question. You obviously have the main investors, the main brewers in here. Do you have your staff already kind of picked out? Do you have a bar manager, kind of your – who is going to be your culture going forward, the people that lead Tillion, as we're saying, when we come in as guests?
I think they're in the room.
The bar manager's right here.
manager that we haven't heard from, even though he's the person that when I've talked to him the last summer, I could barely get him to stop talking. So, yeah.
Yeah. Somehow a mic stops him. It's like his kryptonite.
I don't know.
So. Welcome to Tillion.
The short answer is no, we do not have our staff picked out. So if anyone's looking for a beer tender job, please check out our Facebook page, because we are looking for some qualified people.
Do we become staffing consultants? Do we get to take like 10% off the top of that?
I'm sure we'll take care of you. We'll work something out.
You know, Ira brings up a good point, the military stuff. I know that's been a big part of what you guys are doing with the Tillion brand and what you guys want to present. I saw you guys put up the flag a few weeks ago. Talk about the influence from there. And obviously, I never know if it's cliche to say this, but thank you, obviously, for what you've done for us and for doing what you've done.
You've also been one of our biggest fans, and yet you're the quietest person on the radio right now.
Yeah, I do tend to get a lot of likes on our Facebook page for my military service, but it's not so much about the military service at the tap room. It's more about paying it forward to those who served in their families. When I came back from Afghanistan, I was an Army reservist. Then from that point, I went active Army Reserve, and I found a lot of holes in what we provide back to our soldiers and our families. So when you look at it, the National Guard, like if the Red Bulls deployed the whole state, money comes in for the families and for those soldiers. Then the federal government pays for the active duty soldiers. The Army Reserve soldiers get what's left over. So those friends and families and kids that are left behind when their mom or their dad goes overseas doesn't get all the opportunities that they would if they were in the National Guard or the active service. So the Army Reserves is a tight-knit group, just like the National Guard, just like the active duty. It's just they kind of get what's left over. And I was doing a kids camp for the National Guard right before I deployed, and there was not one Army Reserve soldier's child there because they were packed with the reserves or with the National Guard because the Red Bulls were deployed. And I'm like, well, there's got to be something we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if I can just elaborate on it, this is a camp for kids to be around other kids where their parents, either one parent or both parents, have deployed. So it's kind of a big deal in terms of how often do you get to share those emotions that you're feeling about mom and dad not being home. So, you know, this kind of sparked the idea, I guess, of kind of our philosophy in the tap room around at least one beer in particular. So
those thoughts and kind of the things that I've seen after coming back from deployment and my active duty time, I actually turkey hunt down in southern Minnesota with a lot of soldiers, whether they were in the Air Force, Navy, Army, retired, active duty still, reservist, or National Guard. And it's put on by the Zumbrota chapter and part of the Stuartville chapter of turkey hunters.
And I'm guessing you guys don't miss very many.
Well, there was one guy with a bow, but that's a different story.
Was he a medic? No.
he was a child of a son of Air Force airman that got to come down because his parents were on deployment.
Okay.
But seeing how much community puts forth towards these people to help get them back in that mindset of everyday life, I saw that there was a gap. I saw there was a need. We talked about it. I know Ryan's dad, Roger, and your father-in-law is a Vietnam. Both are Vietnam vets, and it just kind of tied all of those different eras of the military and different branches of the military together into our community theme. So for us to kind of help give back and kind of help fill some of those gaps and voids in what the big boys, you know, the DAV and American Legion and stuff mm-hmm. like that can't do, that's kind of part of our give back to society, give back to the community.
So how have you incorporated that then?
So part of our beer, Roger, which Chris will talk more about when he talks about the beers, part of that will go back to an organization or something of local Minnesota families, veterans. We've talked to a few different areas. We have one in mind. I won't talk too much about that, but part of those proceeds will go towards that. We do have another piece of if you do have a family member or a soldier or airman or any military personnel that passes away and you want to have your celebration of life in our tap room, that we will provide the first keg of Roger.
Oh, that's awesome.
On us to help you celebrate the life of that soldier, airman, or Marine, or Navy, seaman, whatever.
And we proudly put up a flag in our tap room that Scott brought back from Afghanistan. So we have that up there, and we're happy to show that.
Yeah, I just saw that post a few weeks ago. Was that the one that flew over the base? Is that what it was? I'm sorry?
Bagram Air Base.
Okay. Awesome.
It actually, so I deployed with the engineers out of Fort Snelling, and we had two stations. We had Bagram Airfield, where we'd deploy route clearance crews through, and then all of our companies and downtrace units were there. And we had a small headquarters there, and then we had our main headquarters farther north. And when we took down our headquarters to expand north, we took the flag down. Nobody wanted it. I'm like, what do I do with it? My boss says, it's yours. So I brought it home, put it in my gun safe, and I'm like, well, what do I do with it? So when we started talking about the brewery opening and having it open, once we got closer to open, I brought it down and I put it on the bar and I said, okay, we need to find a place to put this.
Found a home.
So we found a home for it. So awesome. Now it flies again.
It's very good.
It's kind of nice.
So Roger, tell me about that beer.
Yeah, I mean, Roger really started trying to find a way to make our beer more accessible to a generation that didn't grow up with craft beer. And
sure.
I'm kind of thinking of like my father-in-law, thinking of Ryan's dad, where, you know, Ryan's dad was a Pabst Blue Ribbon drinker for a while till he wanted to go with something lighter like Miller Lite. So we actually designed
that's gross,
that beer with him in mind. Right, exactly. So we figured it. Well, if Roger will drink it, we made something. And it turns out it wasn't his favorite beer. He likes it, but he actually likes the Patters better. When he said that, I think we almost fell out of our chair. Please don't have your dad listen to this radio show. No, Roger's awesome. But so we decided to call the beer Roger. And it's a very light pale ale, very accessible, but it's a great, you know, we don't have a cream ale in our repertoire, and it's kind of our starter beer, along with the Belgian single.
Our philosophy was to brew some approachable beers that people that haven't generally been exposed to them, especially that were in a smaller community that doesn't have as wide of an exposure. We wanted to have some offerings that were approachable, like I said, to get them in the door and to find something they like, but also to expand the offerings to have something that's going to appeal to everybody.
It's a good approach, I would think.
Yeah.
So Roger, they'll be available opening day?
We're brewing it this weekend, so a little bit of finger crossing tight turnover. It's a little tight turnaround, but hopefully for the grand opening it should be ready.
And you mentioned a red.
Yep, we have a red IPA.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything of note there that you want to mention?
You know, the red IPA is really kind of unique. It's got big biscuit character to it, a lot of malt in it, and then it's got this hop overlay, and it's probably our hoppiest beer. It comes in about 72 IBU.
Okay.
We brewed it in homage to the bike trail next to our building, yeah. Psychology, CYCOLOGY.
Yep. I'd say that the thing that probably...
Know your audience, right?
Exactly. The thing that probably become close to it is probably Fixed Gear from Lakefront is probably as close to another commercial.
I never even thought about that. You could literally bike from Tillian directly to Red Wing Brewing Company.
Absolutely.
And back.
Absolutely.
And I'd probably recommend starting from Red Wing, going uphill, then having some, then going all the way back down.
We'd recommend
that's a very... From Red Wing to Cannon Falls is an uphill climb the whole way.
For guys who look like you,
it's
and
not,
me, that's
not a big uphill. It's not like you know, like summit climbing. But if you are going to make that ride, it's about 20 miles, I think, one way, 20, 25.
Yeah, it's close to that. I can do it in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but it is uphill.
Yeah.
So if you, I was going to say, depending on the person. Now, if you're really ambitious, you start in Cannon Falls, you ride downhill, stop at Red Wing, have a pizza and everything else. Then climb the whole way back, but or do somewhere in the middle, meet Welch, go one way and come back and another. But yeah, there is literally a brewery at each end of the bike trail.
So as there should be.
It's a good trip to have.
Obviously, Norfield's a big cycling town. I know several people have been waiting for you guys to open just to head up that way. And
I know quite a few people would be very happy if our town was connected to that bike trail.
We're working on it. It's been long in the works, but make sure you have bike racks. There's a lot of discussion around it.
We will have bike racks come spring for you. No worries about that. Scott even has a couple bike kits behind the bar that he has planned to put back there. So if you need a tube or a quick fix, he can help you out.
Any other beers people should be looking forward to, either for opening, grand opening, or a little bit further down the road?
So for opening weekend, a couple beers you can expect to see is we have our dark chocolate oatmeal stout. Doesn't have a fancy name, but there's actually no chocolate in it. It's actually made with a dark chocolate malt, and you'd swear there are dark chocolate cocoa nibs in there. Lots of flaked oats in there, so you get this beautiful head, nice body to it. One of our favorites, at least for the first run. Then we have our beer Little Cannon, which is a dry English nut brown ale, and that one turned out really well. We did a few tastings off that one.
Well, where's that today? Come on now.
Yeah, it wasn't. If you wanted flat beer, we could have brought it over.
I have no problem with flat beer. I had some up north this weekend.
Perfect.
So.
The Bright Tank's kind of preoccupied.
I think I might visit. Don't worry. Yeah, I'll probably have a taste of that eventually.
Yeah, and then we have a whole variety of beers that we're planning to come out as we go through March and get our regular brew schedule up and running. We'll start to hit our quarterly seasonal rotations in, which you can expect 2 or 3 quarterly seasonal beers on tap at all times. Plus, we have a Firkin program, so taking our I don't even want to use the term flagship, but our regular offerings and hopping them or putting other fruits,
throwing raspberries
or some type of puree or something in to get shake it up a little bit.
So, of the beers that we've talked about today, I mean, I won't use the word flagship, core beers.
Core beers.
I'm guessing Roger's on for ever. The IPA, probably. The Belgian sounds like it's the Belgian single.
Yep, the Belgian single. We have another beer that probably won't be ready until later in March, which is our LAC, or Lake Andrew Common. That's the beer we brewed when we were up fishing in the lake that we're on. It's called Lake Andrew. And it's a steam ale. It's a California common.
Throwback.
We are uncommon with it because, of course, we use an ale yeast. We use one that's very tolerant to temperatures because we can boost the temperature up, and we get similar reactions that we would if we used a lager yeast. And then we pull the corn out because we just didn't like the sweetness to the recipe.
So as we wrap up here, I'm assuming there's a tremendous sense of relief as you eye opening and then grand opening. I mean, is there just a collective sigh here?
I think there was on Saturday when we first started brewing, but then we were like, oh, we still have to, do this and this and this and this. But yeah, there's a bit of relief, but there's also some anxious anxiety, I think, too, of making sure we have a good experience and we have all our I's dotted and T's crossed.
Yeah, have you positioned... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say followed by a tinge of panic.
Yeah, well,
to make sure we have all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
We've talked to several folks who clearly have opened breweries, and they said, you have stress all the way up to opening day, but then new stress takes over, right?
Yeah.
You've got new problems you have to figure out and new people to keep happy, and it just shifts and it doesn't stop.
At this point, those problems sound pretty good.
Right. Well, we'll talk to you after opening, right?
Yeah.
You just never know. And relate to that, I mean, do you have expectations for what that first day when you guys open legally as a brewery is going to be? And then when you have, obviously, your big shindig where you hopefully have a full house, and I'm sure you have a full house before that when you have your soft, so-called soft opening, because people are going to show
Communities
up.
Communities adapt.
Yeah.
They come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's going to be, when you go to bed that night or when you wake up the next morning, I mean, what's going to be, that was a good day?
I think that was a good day. People came out, they enjoyed themselves. We didn't break anything, meaning we were able to pour beer. The POS system worked.
We were able to cash some checks.
Says the CFO.
Money flow is good, right?
Yeah.
Income.
Yeah, it'd be a nice change of pace.
Yeah,
money into the bank instead of out is always good.
Depositing checks instead of writing them would be good.
It's a foreign idea.
Yeah, exactly. I think a good day is that people had a good time. Opening weeks usually never go as planned, but I think if it can go off as a hitch that you at least had a good time, we were friendly to you, you maybe liked one or two of the beers, I would say that was success for us. And it'll only get better as we tighten the operations up.
Well, and that's exactly it. Whether you think it's the greatest beer you've ever had or it's just okay beer, come back. Taste is subjective, and as I've said several times in the show, there's a spectrum.
Absolutely.
Everyone's going to get better. And people who base it on week one, day one, and like we said, we're having two beers before you even open, and I think it's a good starting point.
Judging somebody on one visit is the worst thing you can do.
And people do it all the time.
Especially off of, like, the opening weekend or opening month, even.
And they'll drive down from the cities and they'll never come back, or they might even be your town. Like, well, it just wasn't my
favorite. Have to ask that.
Come back in 2 months.
While you have them out here, though, will you have growlers? Because there are people that will get very mad if they show up and there's no growlers.
Yes, or cannons. We have plenty of growlers. We will have growlers in place.
The internet will be mad at you if you
They will be, and we know beer people all too well. But yeah, no, we'll have growlers in place. Growlers will be in place. And I do encourage you, too, whether it's you're visiting us or any other brewery, if you don't like something, first off, be respectful, but tell us. Because the only way we're going to improve our operations is to let us know that, hey, I really like this or I didn't like this. I mean, this is coming from a guy who does market research for a living. So, But feel free to shout out. We'll make it right.
So, again, opening weekend and grand opening are when?
So, opening weekend is the 10th of March. Grand opening is the following on St. Patrick's Day weekend, 16th, 17th, 18th.
So, Friday.
Friday's.
Hours will be?
3 to 10. 3 to 10.
And then Saturday?
The Saturday will be from noon to 10.
What will be your normal, once you're fully open, what will be your normal hours?
We're from 3 to 9, Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday again from 3 till 10, and then Saturday from noon till 10, Sunday from noon till 6.
They're only closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Closed on Mondays and Tuesdays for brewing.
Yeah, you got to brew sometime.
Got to brew sometime. Yep.
And lastly, if people want to find where you guys are online and keep up with what you're doing beyond this show, of course.
Absolutely.
Where can they look?
Well, first always go to Corey and I are on
yeah, of course. Of course, naturally.
Because we do. But the best place is Facebook. Go to our Tilium Facebook page or go to www.tilliumbrewing.com.
All right. Any last thoughts?
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a year in the making, and we're really glad we've come down.
I'm excited to have you guys open. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm stoked. It's been news updates, and you know, we didn't probably delve into all the challenges, and I did have a note to talk about challenges you guys have faced, but this has been a long time coming, so congratulations for seeing it through and finally finding the day.
I think
the beer's kicking a little bit. I'm starting to feel it's been a long interview, but congratulations, and we wish you well, and I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Attilian.
Cheers, and thanks Attilian.
Beautiful. Well done.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns. This style of the week is another British style, bitter. Now, as the name suggests, it is a bitter-tasting beer, which means it's got quite amount of hops in it, but we're talking about hops used for bitterness, not for that hoppy flavor like American craft drinkers like. This is a traditional British style that's sort of an amber-reddish color and is quite malty. Actually, you get a lot of caramely, toffee, malty flavors out of it, despite the name bitter. It's certainly more bitter than other styles, but it's really a balance between that malt and that bitter that makes this beer shine. Now, of course, being an English beer, the only proper way to serve it is on cask, and British folks call that real ale. So that would be a warmer beer that's got a lower carbonation, and if you're really getting the real deal, it'll be hand-pulled. So if you don't see your bartender's arms flexing to pull that beer towards you, it's not a real ale.
Well, that's going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Chris, Scott, Chris, and Ryan from Attilian Brewing Company in Cannon Falls. We're excited for your opening, and we'll see you soon because I'm sure we won't be able to stay away for too long. Next up, we've got Karst Brewing in 2 weeks visiting us. Karst Brewing from Fountain, Minnesota, Little Fountain, Minnesota, just south of Rochester, about 20 miles. It's going to be a fun little conversation we have with them. And little is kind of the key word there. I did visit their space here a couple months ago, and it's a small space, but it's a well-done space, and I think they use the space well. And they're actually expanding their brewing operations soon, so that's going to be kind of fun. They had 3 beers on when I was there previously, and I know they're hoping to bring on a few more. So looking forward to having them here in, what is it, 335 hours? That's 11 a.m. Saturday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, so that'll be fun. We won't be talking that day, which is probably wise. We'll chat with them before then, and then you guys can wake up early at 11 a.m. and listen to us. Probably get over your Friday hangover and ease into your lovely St. Patrick's Day. So Karst Brewing coming up here on March 17th.
Oh, great way to start your St. Patty's Day, listening to Karst Brewing. And then as you heard earlier in the show, head over to Attilian for their grand opening. So, you know, fun combo for St. Patty's Day.
It's a busy day. I'm glad we can touch people in such meaningful ways.
You said touch.
And speaking of touch, you can touch us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at Facebook and Twitter at OnTap Norfield. We're at Instagram OnTap with Corey and Ira, where we post a bevy of things. We post photos and information and upcoming guests. And thanks to all those who support the show. Speaking of support the show, we just had our 1 year anniversary. That was our last show. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people, both in person and social. So it's good to hear that people are still listening to the show, and our audience is growing, and we're finding new people, and people enjoy it. They're taking on the road with them when they drive to work. They're listening at work. Next week, we're going to have Northfield Outdoors here on KYMN Radio, 1080 AM, 95 to 1. Make sure you give those guys a listen. I'm sure they've got a great guest coming up. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Cheers.